This coming month, May, our potluck is going to be on the 19th, the third Sunday of the month, rather than the second Sunday. There are a couple of reasons for it. One is we usually end up canceling potluck because the second Sunday of the month is Mother's Day on May, and usually the guys take their wives out and so on. But there's another reason. We're going to have it on the third Sunday this May as a Bring Your Neighbor Day. So we're going to have potluck. We're going to hopefully invite our friends and neighbors. If you don't have any friends, ask some enemies. But the idea is we're going to concentrate on asking people to come. And this won't be an exclusive time, you know. If you have somebody you can invite and they can come next week, bring them next week, all right? That's okay. But I really would like us all to start thinking in terms of drawing people in, sharing Christ with people. And to that end, I'm doing a whole series of lessons to that end. We looked at the centrality of the cross, how what Jesus did on the cross is the center of everything, the center of history, it's the center of our lives, it's what we're about as Christians. And then we looked at developing a sense of urgency by remembering what we were saved from. You talk about, is somebody saved or not? Well, you have to be saved from something, and we escape. We escape hell, we escape eternal condemnation, we escape a ruptured relationship with God, and we are saved. We're brought in a good relationship with God and a hopeful future and a connection with Jesus' resurrection. And that in itself ought to be motivation for us. We realize that we are saved, so we hold on to what we've got, and we realize others need to be saved, and we want to share that salvation because it is an urgent thing. And then last time, we looked at the idea of being ready to give an account of the hope that's in us. We have a hope. We have a salvation. And all of us should be able to, we're commanded to be able to, and really if we're not able to, we have to check our salvation to begin with, don't we? I mean, can we say what Jesus means to us and what he did for us? I mean, if we have the faith to be saved, we ought to be able to tell people what that means and what we did and why. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to memorize the Bible and have a ready answer for every question that everybody has to have. But we have to be able to say why we chose the way we did. When we decided to follow Jesus, why did we do that? What do we get out of it? Why is being a Christian so much better than being the way we used to be? Why is Christianity better for you and in everybody else? We should be able to say that kind of stuff. And that's what we talked about last time. And I challenged you. I hope you did it. If you didn't, I'll challenge you again. But to think about it and start writing those things down. What does Jesus mean to you? What does your salvation mean to you? If you can write it down, then you can speak it. If you can write it down, it'll be easier for you to remember the talking points. It's a whole lot easier. You know, if somebody's complaining about having a meaningless life and they're hopeless and all of this kind of stuff, you say, well, I got some hope for you. It sure worked for me. And you start to key in on other people's needs and you're able to share. Maybe not a formal Bible study, but just share. You can tell people why you bought the computer you bought, or why you use a certain kind of yarn, or why you chose a certain kind of car. We can tell people why we chose Jesus. And that was the thrust of last week. This week, I'd like to talk about another aspect of this. This is the idea of praying for an open door. And to enlarge that theme, ultimately, there are two things I want to happen here. I want to encourage all of us to have a richer, deeper prayer life in general. And in particular, and especially in line with our the course of things, I'd like to encourage us to be praying about the lost and praying for an open door to be able to speak. In Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, well, verses 2 through 4 is our passage for this morning. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. There are two aspects of it. First, I'd like to just look at verse 2 a little bit. We're supposed to devote ourselves to prayer. And to be honest, sometimes a lot of times I fail in that. Quite a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but sometimes it seems like, well, I pray to thank God for the food, and I pray to read the medical charts of the Stevens Memorial Hospital to him. Yeah, I mean, does it ever seem that way to you sometimes? That what we ever pray, we're always praying about everybody who's sick, which is good, which we should. And we should pray to thank God for our food. But if that's all we're praying about, we're really not devoting ourselves to prayer, are we? It's more than just asking for healing. It's more than just saying thanks for what goes into our mouths. Praying involves a relationship with God, and we're told to devote ourselves to it. We're told to pray unceasingly. We live a life of prayer. And what it means is that we're relying on God and we're interacting with God throughout our lives, not just at fixed times and fixed emergencies. And it's a habit to get into, and when we get into it, we do better spiritually, we grow spiritually, we're stronger, we have the ability to say no to temptation better, we have everything goes better because we're consciously walking with God. Isn't that the way it works when our prayer life is the way it should be? When we're walking with thankfulness before God, when we're praising Him for what we notice, when we're asking Him for what we need as we need it, when we're facing a trial, when we pray our way through that trial, and you've experienced this. Isn't it marvelous to have God walking at your side, helping you all the way through it? This is the way Paul envisions prayer. This is the way God wants us to pray. In a very real sense, our Bible reading is very much like drinking. You can't live without it. Our meditating on God's word, our imbibing what He has to say, it's like drinking. And meeting together regularly and encouraging one another is like eating. You can get by for a while with either of those two things, but we can wither and die if we stop. Well, if meeting together and reading of God's word is eating and drinking, praying is like breathing. It's something that we need to do on an ongoing basis. And so that's my sales pitch for prayer. But it's not my sales pitch for prayer. It's Paul's command. It's God's command through Paul. Devote yourselves to prayer. We need to devote ourselves to prayer if we want to have God's power in overcoming the temptations of this world, in overcoming our fears. If we want the relationship with God that we need to be what God wants us to be. So, devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time, this is verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us the door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul feels the need to be prayed for and to pray himself for an open door to speak God's word. If we want to reach out to the community, if we want to reach out to the lost, it's not our work. It's God's work, and we are tools in God's hands. And prayer comes in that capacity. We're asking. We need to ask God for a door of opportunity. We need to ask God to participate in the task and all of the tasks that we do for Him. If you want to help the poor, you pray for God for the ability to help the poor, to find the people who need the help, and you pray for God for the patience and the wisdom to know how best to help in the whole nine yards. Don't do that. If you're praying to encourage the brethren, we pray to God for the wisdom to know the things to say, to know the things to do, to have the right judgment and to know how to do it and what to say. Well, it's the same thing with sharing what we know about Christ. We're to pray for an open door. We're to pray for the ability and the wisdom. In verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. I need help in choosing my words. I need help in knowing how far to go, what to say, and when. And to judge what the other person is thinking and feeling and saying, and have the wisdom to respond in a Christ-like way and in a way that would be helpful. And so, if we're to reach the lost, we need to be praying about it. We need to be praying for the opportunities, and we need to be praying for the wisdom and ability as we go. God is in this with us, and it's exciting. God is with us in our lives, and that's exciting. And part of realizing the power of prayer is realizing that God is with us, and He's interacting with us. And we talk with Him, and we ask things, and we tell Him things, and we thank Him for things, and we realize that He is active apart from us. You know, I mean, a lot of times we think, well, we're going to do this for God, we're going to do that for God, like He can't do stuff. And it's not true. Paul didn't think that way. He's praying that God would open up a door for the Word. I'll give you an example from my own life as far as how God opens doors. I was a recent graduate from college, and I was living in Troy, New York, and one of my college buddies came by for a visit one weekend, and he came by with a bag full of Bibles, and he was giving them out to his former classmates and talking about Jesus. And we had a lively conversation that whole weekend long, and he left me with a Bible, and I was just thinking about stuff, you know. And actually, I was thinking about religion at that time, too, because it just so happened that I had recently had a college professor who introduced me to this book that a psychologist wrote that was sort of on the borderline between religion and psychology, and I became intrigued once again with religion. That maybe there was a scientific basis for it, and there might be some truth in all of those myths, you know. And so I was primed even before my friend gave me the Bible, and we talked all weekend long about believing in Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And 2 days later, or three, I forget how many days now, there was a knock on my door, and there's this guy taking a Bible survey. I don't know where he came from. And we started talking about religious stuff, and before I knew it, I said yes to a Bible study. And I closed the door, and I was kicking myself. Oh, how can I get out of this thing? You know. But I opened the door. Now, the funny thing was, I mean, there's a little more to it than that. The guy who knocked on my door, I was the last door he knocked on. I didn't know it at the time. But there was a bus down the end of the street that carried all the people who were knocking on the doors, and they were honking their horn. And he was just looking over to the side while he was talking with me, trying to get the Bible study. And I found out that as he was going down my street, he said, I'll do one more. It was my door. Now, I found out later, I was the only one who was baptized in that whole door knocking campaign in that whole city. And I was the last door that was knocked on. Who opened the door? Well, I opened the door. But who primed me so that I would open the door instead of, you know, hide in the bathroom while a guy went away, as I would usually do if some religious person knocked on my door? Well, God opened the door, didn't he? God provided my friend to come by and give me a Bible, and we had this lively discussion beforehand. God opened the door when he introduced me to this other literature, and I started to become more interested in religious things. God opened the door when I started to despair of the way I was thinking about my own life and the direction it was taking. And when he humbled me to the point where I would be willing to listen. And so if we think we're going to win the world and we think we're going to give a gift to God, we need to rethink it. We have to remember that God is working with us. And we need to be praying to him about it and working with him and relying on him and asking him to provide us with the open doors. Asking him to help us to help open the doors. Maybe we won't get an open door. Maybe we'll just be like my friend and you'll have a lively religious discussion and might not think of anything about it afterwards. Well, this is a continuation of the same story, but as it turned out, I was baptized from that campaign and I went to a wedding with that same friend who gave me the Bible and some other friends, and we started going through a concordance looking at baptism scriptures. And a couple months passed, and I was at his house, and he woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, Jack, I've been thinking about what we were reading in the car that day. I got to be baptized. 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 months after we studied the scriptures, now he wants to be baptized. And so we went out to the Long Island Sound, and I baptized him at the local beach. 2 o'clock in the morning. But God opens the doors. How could I organize something like that? How could you organize something like that? God knows human hearts. God wants each and every one of us to respond to him. And God is working in everybody's life with the intent that they should be drawn to him. And so when we pray that God would open a door for us to share the gospel, essentially we're saying, God, we know you're at work and we want in on the action. He's already chummed the waters. He's already baited the hook. We're asking if we can pick up the pole, okay? And that's what we're supposed to be praying for too. And so we're going to have this Bring Your Neighbor Day. I want you to start thinking about, well, who can I invite? Who can I talk to during this week or next week or the week after or the week after that or after the whole thing's passed? Who would be open to share the gospel with? Who can I talk with? Lord, and be praying. Give me an opportunity, Lord, to say something on your behalf. Maybe it's not very much. Maybe it's, you know, I felt that way before I became a Christian, but now I have a lot more hope and I have a lot more courage. Or those worries don't concern me so much. Whatever it is that you can say, but you have an open door to put in a word for Jesus. We find ways to put in a word, maybe to show pictures of our grandchildren. Or we find a way to put in a word for talking about the new computer you got, or the new car that you bought, or this nice watch, you know, that you're so proud of. Well, Timex. But really, you know, we can do the same thing for the Lord, can't we? I mean, the Lord's a whole lot more important to our lives than the stuff we've got. And we need to be praying for opportunities. We need to be ready to share and praying for the opportunity to share. And in general, we need to be praying more, just more. How should I handle this situation? What should I say in this situation? How can I take care of this temptation? Lord, I need the wisdom. Lord, I need the strength. Lord, you're going to have to stick your fingers in this one, Lord, because I don't know what's going on. You're going to have to pray all of those prayers. And when you're praying to deal with the lost, you're going to be praying even more of those prayers too, because it gets more complicated. But one of the things we're supposed to pray for also is, how can I do my part in spreading the kingdom? And Lord, help me be part of it. And that's my challenge to everybody here today. Think about folks that you can reach out to and pray for an open door to be able to speak a word for Jesus. Be praying, start praying now about what we're going to do on the 19th of May. But also start praying about what you're going to do about how you interact with people at work, how you interact with your friends and your family and your next door neighbors. Because this is an ongoing project. It's not just what's going to happen on May 19th. So that's my challenge for us today. Renew ourselves in our prayer and pray for an open door. And then when you find the open door, step through. Thank you. If anyone has any prayer requests at all, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, you've been thinking about it, now's the time to do it. I mean, don't postpone it. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.